an 8th grade girl who memorized 30 times and still forgot. My niece Lin Xiao is 15 years old, a 9th grade student at an ordinary middle school in Tianhe District, Guangzhou. This March she called me in tears holding her English dictation book, saying, "Uncle, I really tried my best." She had recited that word list 32 times, yet the next day she could only write 11 of them and got 19 wrong. Lin Xiao is not lazy. Every day after evening study she spent an extra 70 minutes memorizing words, but her phone timer showed her single focus stretch was often cut off by messages in under 9 minutes. Her mother calls her fake effort built from time, sitting at the desk, but her mind was never really online. Later I ran a small experiment with her, take the same set of 20 words, 10 learned with her old copy repeat method, 10 with my close the book and recall method. A week later, the copying method kept only 6, the recall method kept 15. The gap was not attitude, it was method. This sent me to the neuroscience books. I slowly realized Lin Zhao's trouble was not poor memory, but that she treated her brain like copying files to a hard drive, yet the brain is not a hard drive at all. The next 9 sections are the whole process of turning research into methods she could actually use. If you too are trapped by "I memorize then forget," do not blame yourself yet. After reading, you will know forgetting is the brain's default setting, and being able to remember is actually a designable operation. The brain is not a hard drive, memory grows. We often imagine memory as a camera that snaps and stores. But brain science tells us memory is more like a path trodden in a forest. Each time you recall, the neuron connections get a little stronger. If you never recall, the path grows back over with grass. The human brain has about 86 billion neurons that communicate through synapses. Learning essentially strengthens certain synaptic connections and wraps them in a substance called myelin. The thicker the myelin, the faster and steadier the signal. One study measured skilled movement signal conduction speed rising nearly 2 times. In 1949, psychologist Donald Hebb proposed the most quoted conclusion, "Neurons that fire together wire together." This means memory is not stored in a box but connected into a web. The deeper you understand, the more nodes you connect, the harder it breaks. So can't remember is usually not a capacity problem. Lin Xiao forgot after 32 repeats because each time she only lightly stepped the same spot, never letting any path truly form. Truly effective learning makes the same path stepped repeatedly and with spacing. Remember this, the brain wants connections, not repetitions. The methods below are all designed around how to grow the connections. Attention is the first door of learning. Without attention, information cannot even enter the brain's door. In neuroscience, the part that points the spotlight is the prefrontal cortex. Its energy is limited. After 20 minutes of high intensity use, it drops noticeably, which is why a class is cut to 45 minutes with breaks. Lin Zhao's problem was exactly here. On the surface she was reciting, but her attention was cut every 9 minutes by her phone. Each switch costs the brain about 23 minutes to return to deep focus. By the math, of her 70 minutes maybe under 15 were truly focused. In a controlled experiment, a group told a message might come any time scored about 40% lower on memory tests than a quiet group, even when no message actually arrived. Attention spent on standby drains learning. The fix is not to try harder, but to guard the door first. I gave Lin Xiao 3 minimal rules: put the phone in another room, use 25-minute Pomodoro blocks with a forced 5-minute break, spend 30 seconds before starting with eyes closed thinking, "What do I want to remember?" After 3 weeks her single focus stretched from 9 to 22 minutes. Guarding attention is not a talent, it is environmental design. Physically separating distractions is far more reliable than raw willpower. Understand first, then memorize, the power of meaningful encoding. Translating apple as apple fruit is mechanical memory. Imagining the red, the sweet, the crunch is meaningful encoding. The latter hangs the new word onto your existing fruit web, giving more paths to recall. Dual coding theory says information that travels both the language and image channels sticks better than one channel alone. One experiment gave one group words, another group words plus pictures. 3 days later, the picture group scored about 35% higher. Lin Xiao always forgot ambulance. I had her split it into amble, move slowly, plus ants, and link it to an ambulance's flashing slow movement. One analogy, and 2 weeks later she could still blurt it out. Meaningful encoding does not rely on repeat count, but on the number of hooks. The method is simple. For each new concept, force yourself to answer three questions. What is it like? What do I already know that it connects to? Can I explain it with a life example? If you can answer, encoding succeeded. Understanding is not a step before memory, it is part of memory itself. Understand first, then you remember, rote copying only lays the characters on the surface. Retrieval practice beats rereading. Most people review by rereading, looking at the book again, feeling familiar and assuming they know it. Neuroscience calls this illusion the fluency bias. What really hardens memory is closing the book and retrieving on your own. In 2008, psychologist Karpik had two groups study the same text. One studied it 4 times, the other studied once, then did 3 recall tests. A week later, the retrieval group's retention was about 35% higher, from about 40% to about 75%. The principle: when retrieving, the brain must pull the information out by force, and this process itself strengthens the synapse. Rereading lets information flow. P.